Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28 tonight. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28. We're going to step aside just 1 week here from our 1 John series to kind of lay a little bit of a foundation for what we're going to be taking a look at. Our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ is important. Now, obedience is what we're going to be talking about next when we're in the book of 1 John. So I wanted to lay a groundwork here talking about the authority of Jesus. Now, the Word of God is clear about who Jesus is. Make no mistake about it. I know some of the cults are confused. I know there's people that are confused. There's some churches, no doubt, that are confused about the matter, about who Jesus really is. But the Bible reveals Him to be very God. In the beginning was the Word. And it tells us in the context of John 1:1 who the Word is. It tells us that it is the Word that was made flesh, which is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created. So Jesus is God. Make no mistake about it. You know, some people want to say, well, Jesus was just a good person, or Jesus was just a good teacher. Jesus was just a good religious leader. Well, let's take each one of those for just a moment. If Jesus was just a good person from history, then it wouldn't really be a big deal if we ignored his person. I mean, people get ignored all the time, don't they? Been a lot of so-called good men who have not gained the recognition or respect that other people feel that maybe they should have had while they were alive. We feel free to ignore people, don't we? I mean, we don't like what they have to say, we can ignore them. But Jesus is more than just a good person. If Jesus was just a good teacher, then it wouldn't really be a big deal if we chose to ignore his teachings, because there have been a lot of good teachers whose teachings have gone unheeded, both during and after their lifetimes. If Jesus was just another religious leader who formed the following, claimed that he was God, and then he faded off the scene while his religion went on, you know, he would be just one of many who have done that. There's a lot of people who make claims that they can't back up. It wouldn't really be a big deal if we just picked and chose what we wanted to believe of what he said, or what we chose, if we chose not to believe him at all. It would be no big deal. But we're not talking about him just being a good person, or just a good teacher, or just another religious leader. Jesus is God. Does that make a difference? It does. Jesus not only claimed to be God, but he showed himself to be God through his miracles, especially when they put him in the grave, dead, and he got up out of that grave. He showed himself alive. Amen. He declared himself, the way Paul put it to the Roman church, he declared to be the Son of God with power when he came up out of that grave. And because Jesus is God, he has all authority. And that's what we mean when we say Jesus is Lord. Now, Lord is not a word that we use a lot in our secular talk, is it? And we don't talk about people being lords. But we got to know what the word means. And it means that he has the right to call the shots. He has the right to call the shots. And notice in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and verse number 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, speaking of his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Jesus has all power. We know from experience that the person with the power is the one in authority. Amen. And Jesus is that authority that is above all authority. I get a kick out of when the elections come around, especially the presidential elections, and all these presidential candidates talk about what they're going to do. And when you listen to the presidential candidates and the senators and the congressmen that are running for office, you would think that they were in control. But they're not. Listen, they can spout all they want to about what they will do to spur economic growth, but you know, really it's out of their hands. They're at the mercy of the fellow who is the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. He's the one that calls the shots that makes the monetary policy what it is. However, there's even one who is in control of Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve chairman, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one who put him in that position, and he's the one who can bring him down out of that position, just like he can any of the rest of the clowns that we have up there right now. Romans 13, verse number 1, makes that very clear. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And we know that Jesus Christ has been exalted by His Heavenly Father. Philippians 2, 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, have you ever heard somebody say, I'll never confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord? You ever heard somebody be foolish enough to make that statement? One day they will say that Jesus Christ is the Lord. I hope they do it during this lifetime, because if they do it in this lifetime, then they'll be forever with Him. But if they don't do it in this lifetime, they will do it before the great white throne judgment, before they're cast into the lake of fire. Now I want you to see several things about our Lord's authority. And some of this will be some things that we've hit recently in some of our either Bible studies or the messages recently. But it's very important. Our Lord's authority was questioned by some before He ever became flesh. You know, Jesus became flesh in Bethlehem. But He did, that's not when He began His existence. He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's eternal. He's always been. And we know that the Lord's authority was questioned by Satan. And you know, in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15, when he talked about exalting his throne above the stars of God, and he wanted to be like the Most High. Well, it wasn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It didn't happen. And it'll never happen. Because the Lord is the one that's in authority. The Lord's authority was questioned, we saw last week in our Sunday morning message, by Satan and by mankind in the Garden of Eden. Satan challenged the authority of God when he spoke to Eve and said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And then he said, ye shall not surely die, when God said, you will surely die. You eat of that tree in the midst of the garden, the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. And they died spiritually when they partook of it. In spite of what the Lord told them, Adam and Eve ate of the tree that they were told not to eat of. The Lord's authority was questioned in Noah's day. And because of that, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God wound up destroying the world with a flood. He showed who was in authority. The Lord's authority was questioned at the Tower of Babel. The Lord very clearly said that they were to scatter out and they were to replenish the earth. They wanted to stay in their little place. They said, let us go build a city and tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. There in Genesis 11:4. But the Lord confounded their language. The Lord confounded them. The Lord scattered them. The Lord's authority was questioned by Pharaoh, as we saw this morning in Exodus 5:2, as he said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And then the Lord's authority was questioned by his chosen people even. We saw that in our message this morning also. But it was more than just one time that they questioned his authority. They were continually questioning his authority. You know, it goes back to when the Lord wanted to be their king, and they wanted a king like all the other nations. In our Wednesday night studies, we saw that in 1 Samuel 8:7, and the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." The Lord wanted to be their king, but the Lord gave them He gave them what they wanted, and when they got what they wanted, they really didn't want it, did they? Our Lord's authority was questioned by some before He ever became flesh. But I want you to see tonight, and we're going to be in the book of Mark, and I trust that you'll turn. The book of Mark's not very long. We're going to be flipping back and forth through here to see what I want us to see tonight. I want you to see this. Our Lord's authority was questioned by many after He became flesh. We see His authority was questioned by some devout men, those in the synagogue that included the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders and the Sadducees. They all questioned His authority, and we see it over and over again in the Gospels. These were the very ones who should have recognized His authority. Let's take a look at some of the places here. Mark chapter number 1, it's just one page over from where you were at there in the last of Matthew. Mark 1, 21 and 22, we see it in their astonishment. And they went into, and this is speaking of Jesus and His the few disciples that He has at this point, they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day He entered into the synagogue and taught. So get the idea, Jesus is in the synagogue, He's teaching. And notice it says in verse 22, "And they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." We see it in their amazement. Look at verse 26 and 27. This is speaking of an unclean spirit. There was a man in the synagogue that had an unclean spirit. When he cried out, we know that the Lord was going to take and do something for this man. In verse 26, "When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him." And notice it says, "And they were all amazed and so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth He even the unclean spirits, and they do obey Him." So we see it in their astonishment and their amazement. We see it in their antagonism. Look at chapter number 2. Mark 2, verses 5 through 7 says, "When Jesus saw their faith," this is talking about when the man that was had the palsy was let down through the roof. Remember the story? Remember, they brought he was born of four. They brought him to Jesus, laid him down. And it says in verse number 5, "When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" So they were antagonistic about what Jesus had said here and what He was doing. Look at verse number 16. And they got antagonistic again as Jesus sits down with some publicans and sinners and eats with them. And verse number 16 says, "When the scribes and Pharisees saw Him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto His disciples, How is it that He eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So they were antagonistic about Jesus Christ. We see that they had some animosity against Him in chapter number 3 and verse number 6. It says, "And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway they took counsel with the Herodians against Him, how they might destroy Him." So here very early on in His ministry, they had the idea that they were going to look for a way to bring about the demise of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ had, you remember Him saying to the disciples a couple of times, He said, "My time's not yet come." Yeah. They weren't going to advance the time. He knew when He was going to give himself a ransom for us all. And so we see their animosity towards him. We see in their announcement about him. Look at Mark chapter number 3 and verse number 22. It says here, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, and they're speaking of Jesus here, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Now Beelzebub is of a Chaldee origin. Think Babylon. Chaldee, Babylon, same thing. Beelzebub was the dung god, and it also became a name referring to Satan. So basically they were accusing the Lord Jesus Christ of doing what he was doing by the power of Satan rather than by the power of God. We see in their arrest, we see them questioning the authority of Jesus. Look at Mark chapter number 14 in verse number 33. Basically, when they arrested the Lord Jesus Christ, they were saying, hey, we'll show you who's in charge. Isn't that right? And here in Mark chapter number 14 in verse number 43, immediately it says, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And they didn't need to come with that stuff, did they? They didn't need to come with knives and staves. Jesus was willing to go with them. He's the one that willingly gave himself up to them. They may have thought they were in charge, but Jesus was very much in charge. We see it in their accusations against him. Look at Mark 15 and verse number 3. The chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. There's some other passages in Luke's Gospel. Luke 23:2 says, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. Now, he wasn't perverting the nation, was he? No. He wasn't forbidding for them to give tribute to Caesar. He had given to Caesar that is Caesar's. Give unto God the things that are God's. But he did say he was King. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Why would he deny if he said, I'm not King? That would have made him a liar. Because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But there are accusations against him. John chapter 18 and verse 28, as they were delivering him up, they said, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. That's what they told Pilate. You know, he's a wrongdoer. If he wasn't a wrongdoer, we wouldn't have brought him here. Now, they were thinking their authority was the authority. We see it in their activity. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verse number 11. It says, but the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Remember, he had to be on the feast day, they were going to release one of the prisoners. And had Barabbas, and you had Jesus. And they moved the people. They wanted to move the people against the Lord Jesus Christ. Thinking that if they moved the people against the Lord Jesus Christ, they were showing their authority. And they did manage to move the people. But listen, it was all by the authority of Jesus. Any of this was happening. He came. He came to give himself a ransom. His authority was questioned by the very ones who had taken and robbed God's authority for themselves. They looked at themselves as being authority. Look at Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7, and we see their elevated view of themselves here. Mark 7, verse number 6. And this was when the Pharisees and scribes there in verse 5 had asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And this is what Jesus had to say to them there in verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah, talking about Isaiah, prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things, such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. What he was accusing them of is trying to surpass the authority of God's word with their own authority. So his authority was questioned by these devout men, these scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. I want you to see, though, his authority was even questioned by his own disciples at times. Look at Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4 in verse number 39. And this is where they are out on the sea, and the Lord rebukes the wind, and they are dumbfounded. His disciples are dumbfounded here in verse number 30. Look at verse number 39. And he arose, talking about Jesus, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? They had trouble. They recognized Jesus as being somewhat more than a man, but they really had trouble that he had so much authority. But he was God. He was God in the flesh. His authority was questioned by his own countrymen. In Mark chapter number 6, look at Mark 6, verse number 1. It says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, talking about Nazareth, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. He's showing his authority, and they're offended at him. Look at verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And it says here in verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. Now, was the problem with Jesus' authority? Not one iota. Could Jesus have done great works there? Very much so. Where was the problem? Their faith. The problem was their faith. He was questioned by his own countrymen. And his authority is still questioned by many today. Does God want to do a great work in our lives? He does. Does he want to save the lost? Very much so. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he would love to save the entire world. In fact, he gave his life to save everyone, to be able to provide the sacrifice for all mankind's sin. But the problem is with people questioning his authority. Does God want to do great things in the church? He does. What's usually the holdup? People have trouble trusting God, having faith in God. We still question his authority. Our Lord's authority was questioned by some before he became flesh, and by many after he became flesh. But number three thing I want you to see, but understand that while Jesus' authority was questioned by many, it was unquestioned by some. And I want you to get this. Okay? But his disciples questioned his authority, but the demons didn't. Look at Mark chapter number 1 again. Mark chapter 1, this demonic man, this man that has had a demon, unclean spirit, the Bible calls it here in verse 23. Mark 1:23, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, listen what he cries out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. An unclean spirit said that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 34. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils. Notice, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. He had authority over them, and they knew him. They didn't question his authority. Look at chapter 3, verse number 11. Chapter 3, verse number 11. It says, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. Now, there's a lot of people today who don't recognize him as being the Son of God. But these demons did. Chapter 5, verse number 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. Here is the Gadarene. We heard the story of the Gadarene demonic. Well, this is the story of him. Look at chapter 5, verse number 1 here. And then they came over into another other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This guy had some real problems, didn't he? Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran, notice, and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For that's the demon that's in him that was speaking out. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, said, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. There were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. For with Jesus gave them leave. Jesus had the authority over these demons. He gave them leave. They recognized his authority, and the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, where they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And you'll see there in verse number 14, it says, And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city, in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And should they not have been afraid of the man with when he had the demon rather than the man without the demon? Verse 16, And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now you would think you would want Jesus, powerful enough, cast out these legion of demons out of this man. You would think you'd want him in your midst, wouldn't you? You would think. But his authority was not questioned by these demons. We see his authority was not questioned by many who were diseased. And Mark chapter number 1, again, in verse number 32. Mark 1, verse 32, says, And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. You know why they were there? They believed Jesus could do something for them. Notice, verse 34, And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. The throngs were so much, he had to get away to just even pray. Look down in verse number 40. So, and he's in verse 39, it says he's preaching in the synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. But look at verse 40, it says, "There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." This leper believed that Jesus, if you want to, you can make me clean. I believe that you can do that. And it says in verse 41, "Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou cleaned. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." See, Jesus' authority was not questioned by the man, was it? This man that was diseased with leprosy. His authority was not questioned by some who were even dead. Look at Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. And verse number 41 and 42. Mark 5, verse 41 and 42. And this is the daughter of Jairus. She's dead. And verse number 41 says, "And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Tabitha, Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment that he could raise the dead. Then we see also we know the story of Lazarus, which is over in the book of John, John 11, 43, when Jesus cries out, "Lazarus, come forth." He's been dead 4 days. He's been in the grave 4 days. And cries out, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus comes forth. The dead recognize Jesus' authority. His authority was not questioned by his creation. That little piece that we read in Mark 4, just a little while ago, where he was out on the sea with his disciples. Remember what Jesus rebuked? The wind? What did the wind do? It ceased. He said, "Peace, be still." And what? The wind ceased, and there was a great calm there in Mark 4, verse number 39. But what we really need to see is that regardless of whether Jesus' authority is questioned or not, in reality, there is no question of his authority. Okay? You can question his authority, but his authority is unquestionable. You see what I'm saying? You may question it, but there is no question that he is still Lord. Understand that just because someone has a question about one's authority, that doesn't minimize that person's authority. Our son, Philip, used to play baseball. And when we were up in Tennessee, he played in a Dixie League up there, Dixie League baseball playoff game. And there was some guy in the stands that just got irate with the umpire about something that was going on the field. And the umpire turned around and said, "You will leave the field now." He had the authority to cast that guy, and the guy said, "I'm not going anywhere." There was a police officer there. He said, "Escort this man off the field." He got escorted, and he never got to come back on the. He was not welcome to come back at all during the playoffs. I have worked in the tax field, and when you work in the tax field, you come across some of these folks called tax protesters, and they don't recognize the authority of the IRS. Could I tell you it's dangerous to protest the IRS? Because if you don't recognize their authority, they will show you their authority. Amen. They will execute their authority upon you and show you just how much authority they have. What I'm saying is that just because someone has a question about one's authority, that doesn't minimize that person's authority. Understand also that there are consequences to disregarding authority. Listen, you know, we're fooled into thinking otherwise because the authorities we are familiar with are not always aware that we are disregarding them. And sometimes we
We may get by. You know, you're riding down the road and the speed limit sign says 35, and you say, well, you know, I'm kind of in a hurry. I'm going to go 45. So you go 45. And it just so happens not to be any cops on the road that day, and you get by with going 45 and a 35. Did you break the law? You did. But if the authority had been there to catch you breaking the law, you would have known that, hadn't you? Speed limit, stop signs. You know, the signs that say no turn on red, and you come up there, and boy, there's nothing coming. Why is it saying no turn on red? And you turn on red anyway. Or you roll through a stop sign instead of stopping at a stop sign. See, there's only one problem with that mindset as it relates to the authority of Jesus. Nothing escapes Jesus. Nothing. He knows absolutely everything about each and every one of us. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The one that's ultimately in authority sees it all, knows it all. The proof of the Lord Jesus Christ's authority comes. It's going to come in the judgment. There's people who said, you know, well, I don't recognize the authority of Jesus in my life. You know, they may not recognize His authority because they are a Muslim, or they are followers of Confucius, or they're a Buddhist, or they're a Hindu, or they're this, or they're that, or the other, and they said, I don't recognize the authority of your Jesus. Well, you will recognize the authority of Jesus one day. And that day will be too late. Believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it says in Romans 14:10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're going to stand before the authority one day. But not only believers will stand there, but unbelievers will stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books are going to be open. And I believe one of the books that are going to be there, the book of men's works, what we've done. You know, God knows it all, is there. So let me ask you in closing tonight, who do you see as the authority in your life? You know, we can say one thing with our lips. We can say, Jesus is Lord. But what really matters is what we show with our life. Are you really recognizing the authority of Jesus in your life? Well, let me tell you, you will one day. Why not today? You may call Jesus your Lord. However, are you being obedient to Him? Listen to what Jesus said to some folks who called Him Lord. In Luke 6:46, He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What's the implication? The implication is if you call Jesus Lord, you ought to be doing what He says. Amen? That's the implication right there. And that's true. You know, if we're going to call Him Lord, we need to show that He is Lord of our life. We need to show that for the benefit of those around us, and also for our own benefit, amen, to not just call Him Lord, but for Him to be Lord of our lives. The authority of Jesus. I hope He's your authority, that you show Him to be the authority in your life, because you will one day, amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You tonight for Jesus and all that He means for us. All that He's done for us, and truly, He has the right to call the shots in our life. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, we will recognize the authority, especially those of us that we name the name of Christ. We say Jesus is my Lord and Savior. We say that sometimes so flippantly, without even thinking about what we're saying. When our lives may go contrary to showing that Jesus is truly calling the shots in our life. Lord, help us to to recognize your authority and to follow you. Lord, the things that you tell us to do, help us to be obedient. And we're going to be taking a look in weeks to come in 1 John, how that one of the ways that we can have assurance of our salvation, and assurance has to do with that we are assured in our hearts that we're saved, is when we who call you Lord, we are obedient to you. And you want us to obey. And if we're not obedient to you, then we don't have the assurance in our hearts. I mean, we may be saved, we may be on our way to heaven, but the assurance is not there. We may begin to doubt our salvation. The only way that we can have that assurance, as we will see in the weeks to come, is for us to trust and obey. For there's no other way in our lives. And Lord, I pray you'd help us with these things. And help us with this matter of authority in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll stand. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. Altar's open. If I can be of help, I'll be up front here.